If I was going to place a title on my talk this morning, it might make you wonder what I'm going to speak about. I would call it missed opportunities. So, if that could cover a lot of different directions. If you're thinking about what's happened at your high school lately, maybe your team missed a chance to go further in the playoffs, and if you follow college football, maybe your favorite team missed opportunities yesterday to do what they could have done. But that's not what I want to talk about. My talk was brought on by one of my wife's encounters in one of her water aerobics classes. So some of you ladies that are in her class, you're probably wondering whether I'm going to talk about you now or not. And Joyce asked me yesterday, well, am I in your talk tomorrow? And I said, yeah. And then she got nervous. But I said, you don't need to worry about it. I'm going to behave. But Joyce had come home and told me one day about two of the women that are in her class, how they were talking, and one of the women had said that she wouldn't go to a church if she couldn't be the preacher there. And this other lady said, well, I don't think I even need to go to church to be a Christian. And so then she got Joyce involved and says, what do you think, Joyce? And so Joyce gave her a response, and but I just thought about this, and I've heard about stay-at-home moms, but I guess this woman had kind of coined a phrase, you might say, she was going to be a stay-at-home Christian. And she felt like she was just fine in making that decision. And Joyce gave her a response, but she come home and talked to me about it and wished that she could have offered more in a response that would have been more of a directive for this lady and how she ought to consider her relationship with God. And so that kind of spurred my talk today and the fact of us needing to analyze our lives and opportunities that we miss to go through doors that people open during casual conversations with us, that we have opportunities to tell them what they don't know about the Lord's will for them. And so today I hope that we can discuss this topic and maybe better prepare ourselves for opportunities that they not become missed opportunities. So if you're a woman today attending church where you know you can't be the preacher up front during church services, sometimes women ask themselves, well, what can I do? You don't want me up front. What can I do as a Christian? And I think that if we analyze things, we can say plenty. There are plenty of things that we can each do. After all, many, or I would think that most people, aren't brought to serve the Lord by a message that they hear from a Sunday morning sermon because they may not be at church anyhow. But I think most people are probably turned to serve the Lord by things that they find out from our daily life's message, from their encounters with us and the way that we conduct ourselves during the week, and perhaps chance conversations such as Joyce had with these ladies in her class, where they opened the door to discuss religion and made that opportunity available. I'd like for you, if you want to, I'm going to read from Acts chapter 18, a story of a similar situation. Acts 18 verses 24 through 28 is a story about a man that thought he was religious, but his knowledge was incomplete, and how a couple took that opportunity to further educate him that he might be complete in knowing what the Lord's will was. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria and an eloquent man, and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus, This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which he had believed through grace. Now here was a person that had religion about him, Apollos. He had education, but it was a limited education. He did not know about the Christ having come. He only knew about John the Baptist's portion of the gospel. But he was fervent in what he knew. But Aquila and Priscilla seen the opportunity to further his education and make him complete in the sight of the Lord by revealing things to him that he had not been told. And so, such is the situation with ourselves. You can have more of an impact on more people outside of this building than you ever may have inside the building because of opportunities we have with encounters in our daily lives. So we can become a modern day Aquila and Priscilla on our own, whether you be male or female, when opportunity arises to discuss with our acquaintances of what the Lord's will is and not what their perceived idea of religion is, because that is usually incomplete. We have missed opportunities to be Aquilas and Priscillas. Many people we know have a love of God without knowing His will for them. Or as in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 5 says, they have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So they're incomplete in God's sight because they don't really know what His will is for them. They haven't studied enough to know. So it is critical that we analyze ourselves to make sure that we be honest with ourselves. Do we just have a form of godliness, or do we really know what the Lord's will is for us? We have opportunities where we can lead them on to the Lord's will, but we need to be ready to answer opportunity. And as for Joyce's situation, we intend to write out a pamphlet or hand out, whatever you'd like to call it, to show this friend what the Lord's will is for us and why we feel it is to be at church. And to go back and tell her, I wasn't happy with my answer that I gave you earlier when you asked that question. And so I have this pamphlet that gives verses that relate to our discussion that you might be able to read them on your own and maybe understand better what I was trying to say. So there are ways that we can reward ourselves, I think, that can make people receptive to our thoughts about what the scriptures are actually teaching. So why don't we make out our own pamphlets to answer people's questions for varying topics and let the elders look at them and have written out answers that we can hand to people when they have questions about certain things about religion, that if we can't think of where those verses are, we have them written out and we're ready to grab the right slip that we need to address their concerns. After all, 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 15, doesn't it tell us that we are to have an answer ready for those that would inquire of us of why we feel the way we do of being joyful and believing that we are one of the Lord's own? I have a concordance that was, it's called Cruden's Unabridged Concordance. It was given to me when Larry George and I worked for Jim Barbancheck. And that concordance, if I can only think of one word out of a verse, I can find that verse. Because that particular concordance can help me find most anything that I want. And when I'm trying to think of verses that I need for a discussion with people's questions and for making out talks, learn to use a concordance, and it will help you feel more comfortable with your knowledge of finding the scriptures you need to find. Be mindful of the fact that most people that we know in daily life have never read what God has said on subjects. They only know what they think their feelings are and what they analyze in their own mind, what is right and wrong. And I'm going to challenge you all today to come up with subjects that you have had as conversation pieces with other people, and maybe submit them to the elders as topic studies that maybe we could develop our own handouts for people that would have a list of scriptures that would deal with questions that people have, that we might prepare ourselves better to give people the answers that they truly need. So come up with subjects, and also come up with verses that maybe you know apply to certain subjects. And maybe we can get an organized effort together to better educate ourselves that we might educate others. So that is our hope for Joyce, is that we can come up with something written out that we can give to the lady who wanted to be a stay-at-home Christian and reveal to her what the scriptures say about that. Now, when we look at that topic, let's see if we can't come up with a few right now. What reasons would this not be something that would be in the Lord's will? Anything that comes to mind right off the bat? Forsaking the assembly. We have directive in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, that we not forsake the assembly. Hebrews 10, verses 24 through 27. So that is one of the very first things that should pop in our mind. We have a directive. You don't forsake the assembly. Is there anything that's taken place today that would be come to mind? Remembering his death. How do we serve the Lord at home as a stay-at-home Christian when upon the first day of the week we are to lay by in store as we've been prospered and to remember the love that was first given to us? There are several others that I have that I'm not going to have time to get into, but those are two key points that we can use to start off the message in this direction. What about topics for other handouts? Baptism is always one that we've had in a topic study recently on Wednesday night. Alternative lifestyles. Do you think most people understand what the scriptures actually say about the politically correct phrase of alternative lifestyles? The church attendance issue. Do most people know that part of being a Christian is to become a servant, to be submissive? Have they even done that? Do they understand the fact, is the body still mine or is it God's? Why don't we have a full-time preacher? Why don't we have a woman preacher? Why don't we have instrumental music? What do you mean by sin of commission and sin of omission? What's the difference? What do you mean you can believe in vain? I always thought once saved, always saved. We have all kinds of topics that we could use to further educate people about what the scriptures say compared to what man says. And what about religion in general? If people are sincere, isn't that enough? Is there anybody in the Bible that you can think of that was sincere, but it wasn't enough? Paul. Paul is the example that comes to mind the most. And what is the word that is used about Paul? He had great zeal, and it exceeded most anyone around him. But the zeal was not in itself enough to please God. He had to be struck blind on the road to Damascus and be shown the proper way to serve the Lord, because the zeal in itself was not doing it. The zeal was misdirected. And it is so difficult when we see people that are of other faiths such as we see in the world news of the Muslims that are so dedicated to the cause that they are being taught, and they have great zeal for what they are being taught. But would they be any different than the case of Paul, where Paul was persecuting the church and was not found to be acceptable in God's eyes as long as that zeal was misdirected? So we have a duty to make an attempt to educate people for their own salvation. Our world is changing in many ways. Environmentally, the catchphrase is global warming. But throughout world history, the balance of power shifts between nations all the time, and it still is today. When trade deficits occur over long periods of time, economic balances change within the world. When differing views on human rights change, balances of power politically change. I remember when I was in high school, people stayed in the closet because there was laws against sodomy back then. Today, every TV series and program eventually has an episode that addresses the gay lifestyle because they want the new generation being raised today to believe that it is common, that it should be accepted, and that it is just an alternate way to live. That it should be considered normal. And it was recently announced that one of the characters in the Harry Potter series was now professed to be gay. And what is the point in that having such as that, other than the pressure that is put on by that part of society to integrate every part of our daily lives to make it more and more accepted? World leaders making the wrong choices shift the power of balance throughout the world. Someday the freedom to say publicly that I am a Christian in this land of freedom will become more dangerous than it is today. If you go back in world history to the Dark Ages, when Catholicism caused world leaders to be removed when they didn't follow the orders of the so-called religious leaders of that period in time, the kings were hand-picked hand in hand with the religious leaders. The freedom of choice back then consisted of worship the way we say or die. The crusades through countries back then produced that choice of worship my way or die, and miraculously whole countries were converted. Few people even owned a Bible back then in the Dark Ages. It was forbidden because only trained priests could properly interpret the scriptures. We will tell you what God wants you to do. Now, Satan tried to stop Christ's teachings when believed that he might stop Christ's teachings when Christ died upon the cross and he was able to have the Son of God physical life end. He hoped that it would bring down Christianity, but it flourished. And so he says, if I can't stop it that way, I will infiltrate and pollute the church and make it something other than what the Lord originally made it to be. And brought about the Dark Ages through man's desire for power that was never issued by God. And Paul predicted that this would happen in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. But the Reformation opened people's eyes to what the truth really was. So is history about to repeat itself with another Dark Ages where the Bible is banned? Over 25% of the world's population is Muslim, and I believe it is the fastest growing religion in the world. Why? Because it uses the same principle that Catholicism did in the Dark Ages, where you worship the way I say or you die. If you are convicted of spreading or teaching Christianity in Iran and some of the other Muslim countries, it is a death penalty. If you are a Jew or a Christian, you are an infidel. You should die. WHO Radio's Jan Michelson interviewed a woman this past week, and I didn't hear all of it, but she was a Muslim, and she had wrote a book, and I don't know if she's in hiding in the United States now or what country she is in. I think she's in the United States. But she wrote a book that says, "Now They Call Me Infidel," because she had rejected some of the things about Islam, and she was cast out. But this book is trying to warn America of what dangers lay ahead for our country and our world with plans that she knows that Islam is out to achieve. So there are many Muslims who are devout, and I don't doubt their convictions. There are many Muslims who we could call sincere. They're sincere enough that they are dying for what they believe and making themselves into suicide bombers. There are many Muslims who are zealous for their faith. But as we mentioned, so was Saul of Tarsus before he became Paul. Paul's zeal alone could not save him. He had to change direction, as Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 21 through 23, remind us of all those that will call upon the name of the Lord in the final day and say, "Lord, Lord, haven't we done this and that in your name?" And it won't be enough, because it wasn't the Lord's will that they done. 2 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 13 through 15, tells us of the extent that Satan will go to deceive people that they not do the Lord's will. 2 Corinthians 11. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Now in 1 John we have several directives about what a follower of God is. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 1 and 2. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now when you look at the Islamic faith, are they going to confess that Jesus, the Son of God, has been here in the flesh? They may acknowledge that Jesus was a prophet, but they do not acknowledge him as being the Son of God. 1 John 5th chapter, verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." And the final one there in that same chapter, 1 John 5, verse 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The Lord puts it pretty simple in black and white that we have to accept the fact that he sent his Son to die for us. So when you think about the way that the devil has tried to find ways to deceive people, deceive nations, and to deceive the world, he thought it was a good idea to try and eliminate the Son of God off the face of the earth, and it didn't work. He thought it was a good idea to pollute the church and deceive nations, deceive peoples. And now a new dark ages could be upon us with the fact of totally false gods, such as you would have to say Islam is, because of the fact that they do not recognize these verses that we just read. They do not recognize the Son of God as being Jesus Christ. The fact that it is merely a tool of Satan to pull people away from serving the Lord, as the Old Testament told us, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. Serve me the way that I direct you to serve me." The Dark Ages continued to exist because people didn't have access to the truth. They couldn't read or couldn't have a Bible back before our time in the 1400s is when that started to change. But as a society today, the new Dark Ages we have now exist not because we are denied ownership of Bibles, but because we as a society are failing to read them. study them and know what is in them, knowing what the truth is. Our society believes, as a result, in alternative lifestyles. I'm okay and you're okay, as long as we're okay with each other. It is time that we take time to reveal to those people we touch in everyday life where the answers truly are to the subjects of concern in our lives today, by taking the time to write it out in handouts that we might be able to answer people when it comes up in casual conversations of why we believe the way that we do. And if you've ever wondered, what can I do as a Christian if I can't speak from up front, this is it. Be ready to give people an answer of why you are a Christian and what you believe a Christian is. Now, I don't care if we do it in classes or if we do it individually at home, but we all need to find a way to make something down in writing that we can give to people when they have those questions. If we can teach our own classes, if we can give our own sermons, and as Jeremy had wrote this book, able to instruct one another, we can surely take time to write something out that we might be able to show the world what the Lord has said and what His will is compared to our own. So I implore to you now that you not miss the opportunity to be a modern day Aquila and Priscilla. There are many people that want to serve the Lord, but they just don't know the message. You have an opportunity. We're going to be going back out into the world when we leave this place, and we'll have opportunities through encounters to either pass it on or be a stay-at-home Christian. We offer you an gospel invitation now as we stand and sing, if we can be of service to you.